You're listening to Kids Cue the Music, a podcast where we talk to musicians, performers, composers, and kids like you.
We're asking the questions you've always wondered but never had the chance to ask.
And we'll listen to music to see what makes it interesting and fun.
Because music is for you.
I'm your host, Sarah Lane.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Lane, director of Upper Beaches Music School.
Let's cue the music!
Welcome to another episode of Kids Cue the Music. I'm your co-host, Rebecca Lane.
And I'm your other co-host, Zara Lane. And today we are going to tell you about our 10 favorite practice games.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Some of them I don't even know.
Yeah, I know. Some of them you don't even know. I'm very excited for this episode because over the years, we have tried and tested many practice games, and some are we haven't tested and are on this list anyway. So those are going to be fun to talk about.
I want to test these.
Right now, we are in the middle of practice month at Upper Beaches Music School, which means that each week, students are given a practice goal from their teacher. It's something that they can achieve in their week. The teacher decides what it is. It's different for every student. It might be to be able to play a certain number of bars in the piece of music that they're learning.
Yeah.
It might be to play for a certain amount of days, practice on a certain number of days, or to reach a certain number of minutes in total of practicing. I don't know. It's different. It's different for every student. But the reason we do a challenge like this is because practicing isn't always fun. But when you add games, it becomes more fun.
So practice games work the best if you play a little bit of game between each thing that you practice.
Right. So if you're going to practice the same thing 5 times, like the same line of music 5 times in a row to make sure you can play it, then you can play a little bit of the game in between each time that you play that line of music.
So play the line, play the game, play the line, play the game, and exactly. Like over and over and over and over.
Exactly. So the idea is that it makes it more fun to play the same thing a bunch of times in a row. So a little disclaimer. If you are trying this at home, these games are meant to be played if you're practicing with your grown-up. And we think that you should practice with your grown-up most of the time, unless you're over the age of 10.
Whoever you practice with normally.
Yeah.
Like your mom or dad. I don't know. Maybe your teacher.
Yeah, or it could be like an auntie or uncle, or it could be grandma or grandpa, or an older sister or brother, or just, you know, anyone that's around, any grown-up that always helps you practice, you should play these games with them. If you try to do them by yourself, you'll get super distracted because they're so much fun.
And they'll be so, well, you'll never get any practice.
Exactly. You'll be too busy playing the game. So the grown-up will keep you on track. And
they get to make the rules.
Yes. That's disclaimer number 2. The grown-up is in charge of the game. They make the rules. You can help them decide what the rules should be. But they get to make the rules in the end. And they get to decide if, like, what you did in your practice counts towards moving ahead in the game that you decided
to play. Now, what counts? Okay, so let's get started with game number 1!
Woo! This is one of Zara's favorite games. It is Draw a Picture. And the game is, first of all, you have to decide what it is you're practicing. So maybe it is the same thing over and over again, or maybe you have 5 different things on your list that you need to work through. But whatever it is, each time you complete an item, you draw part of the picture.
So we've done Lego people.
Yes.
You are.
Lego Legolas, in fact, from Lord of the Rings. So we have the minifigure Lego, and I am in charge of the drawing, and I enjoy drawing. So this
and also it makes it fun for both. I mean, if the adult likes drawing and the person who, the kid, likes the person that's drawn.
Right. So the way that we do it
is, I think once you drew me.
I did draw you once. Usually Zara
and
gets to choose.
And put it up on the cupboard.
In the inside of our cupboard. Zara gets to choose what I'm going to draw.
Uh-huh.
And so she has chosen Stuffy sometimes.
Wow.
Remember we drew Bear?
Oh, yeah. We drew Bear and Teddy, I think.
Yeah. Her Stuffies are named Teddy and Bear. Anyway, and we've drawn you, and we've drawn actual people, and we've also drawn Lego figures.
Yeah,
minifigures.
We've drawn Lucy, Mayhem, Legolas, and I think we've also drawn, we started Elsa.
Yeah.
We never finished
Elsa. We got tired of Elsa before we even finished it. But sometimes these drawings take like days and days or even weeks to finish because we get so detailed in them. And so we sketch them out first, and it might take a couple of days even to just do a nice sketch. And then we like outline it in black, and then we color it in, and it takes a long time, and it's fun because every day we get a little...
Probably going to have to find like a nice like lime, an olive green color for his... shirt, right? We've got a dark lime.
We take a lot of time choosing the colors that we're going to use, like the pencil crayons or whatever.
We've got
good ones.
We've got the green one.
So yeah, that's part of the game too. It's just choosing the colors, and sometimes that counts as a turn, just choosing the right colors. As you can see, Zara really likes this game, so we have a lot of fun with this one. Okay, game number two. Build a tower. You can do this with blocks. You can do it with Lego.
You can do it with anything that you can build something with, except for real life bricks, because if that were to fall, you could kill yourself.
I don't know if it would kill you, but it would be heavy and maybe damage you or the instrument. So use something that's not going to harm you if it falls over, but building a tower can be really fun. So
Duplo also works.
Yeah, Duplo works really well, actually.
I think once Naomi said she made one, and then like in her playroom, and it went all the way to the ceiling. And if she listens to this episode, she's going to say, I'm in the episode.
She's in the episode. So when you build a tower, when you're practicing, basically you would be adding a block or a layer or whatever each time you complete an item that you're supposed to practice.
But one thing, I would not do Lego. Because if you want it to be very neat, first you would have to have a lot of the same pieces. And like if you wanted the whole entire tower to be gray, you would have to have a lot of gray.
So
and
then, it might take some prep beforehand.
Yes, but I think... probably Duplo would work better because the blocks are bigger, and if you want it to be really tall, it would be the bricks would already be super tall.
These are the important things to decide before you start practicing.
We don't want this to last too long.
It's true. Let's get on. Item
number three.
Game number three.
Make a parking lot and cars.
So this is a really fun
park thing. Cars.
Park the cars in the parking lot.
Thomas could do this, or actually no, we could because we have that special mat.
Yes, so we did do this with Thomas, and you can do it if you have one of those mats that has roads on it.
Yeah, it has roads on it. Then if you have like toy cars, you
drive the cars along.
Yeah, or this is another idea you could do if you have a mat. Like a car starts off maybe in a parking lot, and then it has to get to a certain destination. Yeah, and like some of them have a racetrack, like ours do.
Yes.
Like it could try to get to the racetrack, and then you would have a bunch of other cars waiting to race it on.
Yeah, so like each time you practice something, you move the car a little further. What I meant, actually, when I wrote this down, the parking lot, is like actually if you don't have a mat that has streets on it, you can just draw one. And even just drawing like on a piece of paper, a very simple road that leads to parking spots. And then you line up some cars, some toy cars, and each time you complete something that's on your list to practice, or you repeat something that needs to be repeated, drive one of the cars through and you park it at the parking lot.
Mom, you know that car thing we have? Like that huge parking lot with the helicopter and the elevator?
Yes, we have
that. That would also work, too.
That would work.
Because that would be really good for a destination thing. Like,
yes.
Or it could do a helicopter.
That's true. We have a wooden, like, parking lot. So that would be super fun. Okay.
Game number four.
So this one is super fun and not as...
Well, yeah. Just one thing. If you have... Probably most kids sleep with stuffed animals when they're
A lot sleeping. Of kids do.
Yeah. And if you really, really want them to watch you, you know, stuffies aren't exactly entirely alive, right?
No, they're not actually alive.
But they still have eyes, right? They have eyes, mouths, nose, and hands and feet. So you can set them up somewhere, and they can watch you.
So this is a fun game to play, especially if you're preparing for a performance. So you can set up an audience, and you can play for your audience, and then bow to them at the end. Super fun. But if you're using it strictly as a practice game, like we were describing,
I just got an idea for that.
Well, hold on a second. Let me finish my thought. Just leave it in my thought. If you are doing it as a practice game where you want to do something new each time you finish a repetition or each time you finish a new item on your list, then you can add a stuffy to the audience each time so that by the time you're done practicing, you have a big...
big, huge audience. And then you can maybe play the whole song.
Yeah. But
this is also a good idea if you want to do a stuffy audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not mentioned this to you yet. So maybe if you put it... maybe on a shelf or something, and you pull the shelf out a little bit, somebody could, like, hide behind the shelf, and then after, it would be kind of like a puppet show. They would be like, yay!
That would be very fun.
You gotta make sure that the grown-up, this is for the grown-ups,
and
only the grown-ups.
The grown-ups are the only one touching the stuffy.
No, well, kids can do it too, as long as it's not the kid that's practicing. You gotta make sure the kid does not know that the person's hiding behind there.
This is a very elaborate practice game, but that would be fun. That would be fun. I don't know if it would work for every day, but it might be fun to try one time.
Probably before practice.
Would also like to add that you can do this game with anything that has eyes and ears. So you can do it with dolls or Lego minifigures.
Well, yeah, but...
Or, like, action figures or anything you want.
Anything that is just some kind of figure, some kind of... It could be a stuffed animal. It doesn't have to be a person. All it has to have eyes, ears, nose.
Eyes and ears, actually. It doesn't have to have the rest of its face.
Well,
or legs or anything. Just, it has to be able to see you through its pretend eyes, and it has to be able to hear you through its pretend ears. That's what makes a good audience. They're watching and they're listening. And if they don't have the mouth, it's no problem, because they're not supposed to make noise anyway.
I think there's a fox called the Phoenix Fox. I don't know. But if you had a stuffed phoenix fox, it would be able to hear you very well, because I think one kind of fox has ginormous ears.
There you go. Okay. So, moving on to game number 5.
The penny game.
Okay, so the penny game is not really a great name anymore for the game, because most of us don't even have pennies anymore. Like in Canada, we don't even use pennies. So you can use any small item. So we've used chocolate chips. You can use M&Ms or Smarties or Skittles if you want to have something to eat at the end, like a treat. Or you can use, like, tokens or screws or nails or pencils or anything that's just small that will make... Yeah, anything that's small, actually, will make a good penny game. And the way that you play is that you line them all up. It's really easy. You line them all up in a row, and each time that you complete the thing that you were supposed to complete, you move the item to a different area. It's really simple and easy, but it's just a way of counting how many times you've done something. It's not super exciting, so that's why sometimes we do use chocolate chips when we do this, because that just makes it... I mean, if you have, like, 5 chocolate chips and then you eat 5 chocolate chips at the end, that definitely makes practicing more fun.
Or maybe if you had, like, 10 ginormous marshmallows.
Or 10 mini marshmallows would work as well. Or a mixture of chocolate chips and marshmallows, because those taste delicious together.
Maybe s'mores. Anything that's yummy that you would like to eat. So, it could be a kind of fruit if you really like fruit.
Yeah, you could do
or
like,
a kind.
You could do 10
if you really like corn,
blueberries.
Or if you like corn a lot, you could do like one.
Kernels of corn. Yeah.
Yeah, that have been boiled.
Okay, so I want to give you one option for how you can play this game to make it a lot more interesting and a lot more difficult. So if you're finding it sort of boring to just move pennies or chocolate chips or whatever from, like, you know, one side of the table to the other, what you can do is... You line them all up, and when you play each item on your list, you move it from one side to the other. But if you don't play it very well, then you move one back, and then you have to do it again. Or to make it even harder, just before we go into your thoughts, Ara, you can move them all back and have to start from zero. That is a really hard game, and it's actually kind of frustrating, so I don't recommend that you do that unless you're sure you're going to be able to play something. But it's also a very good game to play if, say, you do have a performance coming up, and there's a tricky spot you need to practice really hard, or you want to play through the whole thing perfectly. Knowing how to play through the whole thing perfectly 3 times in a row, it's a lot harder than playing it through perfectly once. So this will train you to play really well, even when there's a little bit of pressure. So you can run with that game. The penny game can get pretty elaborate.
Also, like, maybe if you do this before or after any type of meal, any kind of meal, like, it just has to be probably not breakfast, because I don't think anyone would ever practice that early.
That's not true at all. We used to practice before breakfast.
I know, but
some people practice in the morning, you know. Go on.
Unless you're really confident that you can practice just when you get up.
Okay.
But, like, I suggest probably after breakfast.
Okay.
But if you have any kind of small thing, like it could be an action figure, doll, Barbie.
Yeah, you know, you could move mini figures.
No,
no. Go ahead.
You could do this with food. You would line all the things up. Then, it could be some kind of fake food. I mean, it could be a Barbie food, it could be a Lego food, it could be anything that just, it could be a real food too. But, so, you line the thing up, then, with all the things, you gotta try to get the food to whatever thing. So they can have breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Yeah, so I do agree that if you're gonna play a game like that, do it after you've eaten your meal, so that it doesn't make you too hungry.
Or, before, if you really have time, and if you want. people to have a super late or a super early meal.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, moving on
to
game number six.
Do a puzzle!
So this one can, again, depending on the kind of puzzle you choose, this can take a very long time or no time at all. So each time you complete an item on the list,
you put one piece down
in
dramatically
puzzle.
On the table.
So, yeah, you add one piece to the puzzle. And I don't recommend that you just pick up a random piece. I recommend that you find a piece and put it in where it belongs.
Well, you try to do the puzzle.
Yeah. If you choose a really tricky puzzle, then it'll be impossible to do.
Yeah,
it'll
like, I know there are, like, those huge ones. We did it at...
Wildwood?
No.
At the cottage?
Yes.
At Evelyn's cottage. Yeah,
and then,
puzzles.
Yeah, and then it was, like, huge. I think there was one of, like, a church or something.
Yeah.
It was
like, thousands of pieces.
And then it had, like...
Don't do one that big.
100, but I think it went all the way up to 500 pieces.
Yeah, some of those had pretty small pieces, and there were lots of them. I don't recommend choosing a puzzle like that. I recommend choosing a puzzle...
What if there was, like, a puzzle as big as... I don't know, like 5 computers, and then pieces were as small as a piece of dust. You would never be able to find pieces, and you would never be able to do it.
That would be impossible. So pick a puzzle that matches how much patience you have,
mm-hmm.
and if you are practicing with someone mm-hmm. small who does not have a lot of patience, or someone big who does not have a lot of patience, then choose a puzzle that can be done in one practice session. It just has, you know, like 10 pieces or 8 pieces, like a little, you know, one of those little wooden puzzles or something. Yeah, but if you have a lot more patience, then you can do a bigger puzzle over the course of several days or like weeks. Okay, we're moving on to game number 7.
Color picture!
So this game is very similar to game number 1, which was
yes,
to draw
except,
a picture.
Except, maybe if you, this could work if maybe you have somebody in the family or whatever. It would ask them to draw something, or you would just have a coloring page, right?
Yeah.
And you could color it in however you want, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
You could choose, you would just color one section of the thing, of the picture, each time in between.
Yes. So I should add that. So first of all, for the color a picture game, it's different from draw a picture game because the picture has already been drawn. Either you drew it beforehand or you found it in a coloring book or you printed it off or something.
Or somebody else drew it for
someone
you.
Else drew it for
but
you.
The different thing is that you colored in.
Yes. So the coloring
not
is
the grown-up. The grown-up, if the grown-up or anyone that you're practicing with is coloring it in.
Oh, the student colors it in.
Yeah.
The kid colors it in. Interesting.
That,
I don't know if I agree with that.
Unless you are...
The thing that would make that work,
but,
Sarah, actually...
But wait. If the student is coloring it in, it's against the rules. If the adult even touches the pencil!
Well, so think that this could work, Sarah, if the coloring only happens after all of the practicing is done, and then you're stretching out the coloring over, like, you know, several days or a week again.
No.
If you're practicing and you're...
Hold on.
If you're practicing and you're letting the student or the kid color in every single time they complete something, that's going to take too long. Because the grown-up can color while the student and the child is doing the next thing. So it's just, you have to be careful that these things don't take longer than just practicing with no game, right? It's not meant to take up a ton of time. It's just meant to make it more fun.
Yes. Okay.
Moving on to game number 8.
Play Snowman!
Play Snowman. Zara doesn't even know what this is. But some of you have probably heard of the game Hangman.
Oh, wait, why did you say Snowman?
So the game Snowman is very similar. Instead of drawing a hangman, you draw a snowman. I don't really like Hangman anymore. I think that's outdated.
Why?
And
because why
you're hanging a man. Like, it's just yucky.
No, it's not. And I play it all the time at school.
Oh, boy. Anyway, I think making a snowman is more fun. And you
or
can draw the arms and the eyes.
You could draw anything that is just... That is easy, right?
Like, yes.
That's not too hard to do.
So it's similar to draw a picture, except that you're doing something that's really easy to draw. And you can incorporate a message. So you can have each time that you practice something that you're supposed to practice, you get to choose a letter.
This is against the rules. If the student has any way of finding out what the word is,
then it will ruin the game.
Yeah, there'll be a pumpkin eater, I guess.
Okay, moving on to game number 9.
Write a puzzle or story!
So writing a poem or a story can be super fun if you do one line or one sentence after each item that you practice. Yeah, you can make them run. They can be silly and funny. And then at the end, you
tell them about
read the poem or the story. Tell us about the story that you made, Zara. This is going to be quick.
So what's my story about a girl? It's called I Steal Cookies from the Cupboard.
Oh, boy.
You know this one, right?
I do.
What this girl does every single day, including the weekends. So she goes to school, she does, and then I think she, like, eats dinner and stuff, and then she plays soccer and eats a snack, and then writes out some plans, and then she goes to bed, and then she waits all the way until she hears her parents snoring. And then she gets out of bed, walks down the stairs, and then steals two ginormous cookies from the cupboard, and then she eats them. She does this every night because she has school on the weekends.
So we did not write this story while practicing. Zara wrote the story on her own. But a story like that would be fun. You just add a new element or a new sentence every time you practice something
and
on your practice list. We're moving on to game number 10.
My favorite.
This is Zara's. We actually have not tested this one yet.
Yes.
This is her master plan.
Most of these.
Okay.
You can have anything. This would work best if you have any kind of minifigure. It could be a doll, Barbie, Lego person, Duplo person, action figure. But thing is, you have to have people to do it. One or two, three characters will work. And the thing is, you have to have a lot of places for the thing to go, and there has to be traps on the way. So I'm just going to explain this with Lego, because it was the first thing I had an idea about. So you've got one to three players. They have to get to one destination, which is all the way at the end of the obstacle course. But then there's obstacles on the way to try to stop them. Like, I don't know, if you were doing this based on maybe like a Lord of the Rings or something, it would probably most be a good guy. Or this could be Star Wars, maybe.
So it's just someone, one of the characters.
Yeah, and they're walking and they have to get through all these different places. But then in some of the places, it's a trap. Maybe if you were doing this with Star Wars, maybe, I don't know, some stormtroopers took over the rebel base or something. And if the main player was Luke Skywalker, he would have to get all the stormtroopers, I guess.
So you can see, your imagination can run pretty wild with this game.
Yep, it's probably the one with the most imagination.
Yeah, and it's also the one that has a lot of prep time before. So if you're someone who likes to make things, make things out of Lego or make things
out of Duplo, you just have to have a lot of places, and then
you move your character through those different destinations as you practice.
Maybe when I get
a lot of setup this one, but it could be really rewarding in the end.
Yeah.
And would make you really excited to practice.
I would probably do one about Elrond trying to get to Rivendell.
There you go. Okay. So there you have it. There are our
ten practice games.
And that concludes our list. Thank you so much for getting to the end with us. We want to hear what games you play, so let us know on social media. We're on Instagram at Upper Beaches Music, and you can tag us with your practice games. And also, if you're getting our emails, we're going to include... What does that sound?
It's the background music.
Oh, it's the background music. If you're getting our emails, you'll also get some links to some of these games that you can just print off, and so you don't have to draw your own parking lot. You'll just be able to print one off that we provide for you. That's it for today. I'm Rebecca Lane.
And I'm Zara Lane.
And we'll see you next time on
Kids Cue the Music.
Listening to Kids Cue the Music.
If you've enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with other kids you think would love it.
I'm Zara Lane.
And I'm Rebecca Lane. Talk to you next time on
Kids Cue the Music.